Good evening. We're certainly happy to be here tonight. And now tonight I have my better half up here with me. And she was busy working in the children's department this morning. So praise the Lord. It's good to be here with you all. And we've had a wonderful day. Nice meal today with Pastor and some friends from church. And we had a great time. I'd like to just think of a verse or so first that might help us get started. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Those are good verses, good to memorize, good to have in your heart. But just out of a heart of gratefulness, Debbie and I want to thank you for your, here at First Baptist Church of Bryan, Ohio, for your faithful monthly support. It's probably been over 12 years now, and that means a lot. And that adds up to be quite a bit of money, too. And we're grateful for that. We're thankful for your special gifts. At Christmas time, we've already got your Christmas gift. It came in October, and we're grateful for that. What a blessing. It's an encouragement to all missionaries as they're able to get a Christmas gift from their supporting churches, and we are grateful. We're grateful for the birthday and anniversary cards that sometimes come from the ladies group here at First Baptist Church. And so we're thankful for that. We're also thankful for the lovely stay here in the hotel that we're at. We're up there in the city, Holiday City. I couldn't think of the name. Almost said Holiday World, but that's not it. And we thank you for that and the meals associated with that as well. And we appreciate your prayers as, on our behalf. As we're going through a transition now, we're going to be relief missionaries. I mentioned this morning on the back of our prayer card, it says ARM, ARM, Assistance and Relief Missionaries. And we're thankful for that opportunity to do that. And I mentioned this morning, and Debbie's going to elaborate a little on some things here. But we're planning to go January 7th to Daegu, South Korea. I want to make sure I get the South in there because sometimes people, I say I'm going to Korea, or North or South. Well, right now we're just going to South. Maybe there'll be a day when people could go and get the gospel out. Many groups are trying to. We had a missionary recently. He came to our home church, and he does all he can to get the gospel out. Through balloons and stuff, they send the gospel over there to the North Korean folks. They try and smuggle Bibles in, which is a very dangerous thing. If you're caught with a Bible in North Korea, it means life imprisonment. Just think of that, the privilege that we have to have a Bible and share that. Well, Debbie, I'll quit talking, and I'll let you talk a little bit and share with the people, all right?
Well, thank you for allowing us to spend time with you, and thank you for allowing us to be your missionaries. And everything that we've been able to do for the glory of the Lord, you've had a part in. When we lived in Germany by an army post, you would have been so proud of your men and women. And when we were there, the men were going downrange for 12 to 15 months to Iraq and Afghanistan. So it was a hard time, because when we said goodbye to those men, we knew sometimes they weren't coming back. But the Lord protected them, and we didn't lose any of them in our church, Grace Baptist. So that was wonderful. I know you're proud of the men and women that serve in the military. And when you pray for them, just pray that God will help the families be strong. One thing we found from working with Army and Navy is that there's such a stress on the family because in the Army, of course, they go to the battle, and in the Navy, they went out to sea. But the time away is hard. And you and I both know that when you have hundreds of men and women on a ship, it's very hard sometimes for the men sometimes to be true. So just pray that God will protect those marriages. And working with single men and women in the military, we found from talking to them that some of them grew up in really good churches in America. And then when they went overseas, it was like they left the Lord behind. Okay. So pray that God will get a hold of their hearts.
And that's true.
They'll want to come back to Him. But they serve. They protect our freedom. And I know you're proud of them. So just pray that God will bless those Christian families, that they'll be strong in their faith. Thank you for keeping us up to date on things. It's when you send us things, you encourage us. You can't live in a country and be unconcerned for the people, the nationals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, our ministry was to military, but in Germany, we tried to find a way to reach out to the German people, and in Japan. In Germany, at least they know about God, but in Japan, the concept of God is so strange, and the concept of that they're sinners is so hard to explain sometimes to a Japanese person. But one thing we found in Germany, they like American candy. So we passed out tracts with, those little miniature candy bars. We passed out German tracts with the little miniature candy bars. And we found that if you go down to the post office in the town we lived in, that's where the soldiers came to get their cell phones fixed. So we would stand there and pass out tracts to them and invite them to church. And then we'd pass out candy bars to the German people and give them tracts. And then lo and behold, in Japan, candy again. In Japan and Germany, you don't tip when you go to a restaurant. Here you give tips, but there they don't want you to give them a tip. But they love candy. And so we found that by giving them a Japanese track, we would give them American candy. And you're probably aware from our prayer letter that at Christmas we passed out candy canes, hundreds of candy canes. And last Christmas, we were able to actually give out John and Romans in Japanese with the candy canes. And so it was kind of neat, not just to give out a tract, but give out part of the Bible. So we're going on a new adventure now. And yet, in a way, we're going to be doing the same thing, except we're not going to live in the country. But now we're going to go and give a missionary a furlough. But Steve will preach, and I'll work with the girls and teach the kids. So we'll be doing the same thing we've been doing, except we won't do it all the time. We'll go there and give them a furlough between 1, 2, 3 months, and then we'll come back to America, and the missionary will come back and keep on with their work. So just pray that God will put us in the right places, the right missionaries that need a furlough. And who knows, we may go back to Germany or Japan or Spain or Italy. So just pray God will give us the strength to do this new adventure.
Amen. We'd like to sing a song we've loved to sing on the mission trail, Little as Much When God Is In It.
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Does the pleasure called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it when you go in Jesus' name. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. When the conflict here is ended, and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, Pastor, for playing for us. We're going to get ready to show our video now. Pastor's going to help with that. And then I'm going to be narrating it because it's without words. There's some music in the background, and it has a good message, and I'm going to stand to the side. Pastor warned me, said, don't stand in front of the pulpit, you'll block the video. So I'm going to try and narrate. It moves along pretty fast. But this was our church in Sasebo, Japan. And the folks that made it for us were the new couple that took over, graduates of West Coast Baptist College, and Andrea and Jeffrey and Andrea Wright. And you'll see our church. You'll see some folks and things, I trust. And I think you'll enjoy just seeing the church and the just a little bit of the Navy base, not much, but just a little. So we'll see how it goes here. That's our old prayer card. That's the front of Lighthouse Baptist, the new pastor on the right, and our new military director in the middle. There's the main gate to the Sasebo Naval Facilities. This is in the sanctuary there. There's new screens. I think they were vibrating. Debbie and I got to go see the Ernie Pyle Memorial for the Indiana native, Ernie Pyle, the correspondent of World War II. And we got to see that off of Okinawa. The lady I baptized a couple years ago or more. That's sort of our main group as we were in transition. Debbie teaching, of course, in our fellowship hall. That's the sanctuary, the back of there. There's some of the children in children's church. Debbie enjoyed teaching that. This looks like a Thanksgiving time. We always have a Thanksgiving meal for the folks that came. One fellow named Eric, I believe he's a senior now in high school. There's a man showing some kids how to do a project. Some singing up front in our sanctuary. Once again, a fellowship meal, a couple Japanese folks right there. And this is a Japanese father and his daughter. They came to our church some. And we're at the Christmas banquet right now. We always had a Christmas banquet every year on the base, and we enjoyed that, a good time of fellowship. Another family that had come recently to our church. This family now is in Singapore. They went to Singapore, father and son. That's Minori and her daughter. Sweet Japanese lady. This is Alfred Napor. He's from Cameroon, Africa. Allison, a little girl. This is Debbie. She got some roses. It was our 45th wedding anniversary. So that was pretty nice. They gave her some roses. And they want me to give her a kiss. So I lived up to my name, Kissling, and I kissed her. And this is a family here that's sweet. They're the Hiroko Matsumoto. A sweet Japanese missionary in Senegal, Africa. And there are some ladies again, as all good Baptists, we like to eat. And that's a family, some of them going to Texas and others. There's a couple of Japanese ladies here, about three altogether. John and KT, they help lead the music there at church. This family, the Howard family, they're a sweet, kind family. This young man is going to Rota, Spain, in the Navy now, and his father was in there. This is the folks that got saved, a lady, and they've been gone to a Catholic church before. And this is another nice family. Here's some kids in front of some kind of display there. This family moved to San Diego, and they just left not long ago. And this is a Japanese couple, and she just had a baby about 2 months ago. This family lives in Little Creek, Virginia now. He was a command master chief at the base, and his wife and children. And this is a young couple that started coming to our church. And this is the Hitz family. They have a little baby boy now, too. And this is Greg and his dear wife. And then the family wound up in the bottle there somehow. And this family moved off. Now they're in Texas. That's Minori and her little girl again. And there, somebody asked about cherry blossoms. It was the time of year that family was sitting in front of there. He's the principal of a Christian school in Montana now. He was a captain of a minesweeper, and now he's doing that. And that's our new pastor and his wife and their two little girls. The little girl's about a year old this week, and so that's a blessing. Well, thank you, Pastor John. That's the extent of our video, but it shows you what a military church looks like a little bit and how important that it can be. Thank you so much. Trying to get my place in the Bible. I had it marked, but it looks like my marker disappeared. Okay. Well, tonight, I thought I'd try it one more time. I had a funny thing this morning, and you did laugh a little bit, so maybe I'll try another one. This is about the goodnight kiss. There are some teenagers in here and young people that maybe think that someday you might have a goodnight kiss. Okay, listen to this. This is pretty good. At the end of their first date, a young man takes the girl back to her home. Emboldened by the night, he decides to try for the important first kiss. With an air of confidence, he leans with his hand against the wall, like that, and smiling right by the front door, you know, and says to her, "Oh, darling, how about a goodnight kiss?" Embarrassed, she replies, "Oh, I couldn't do that. My parents will see us." "Oh, come on. Who's going to see us at this hour?" "No, please. I would just die of embarrassment if someone would saw us." "Oh, come on. There's nobody around. They'll all be sleeping." "No way. It's just too risky." "Oh, please, please. I like you so much." "No, I like you too, but I just can't." "Oh, yes, you can. Please." "No, no, I just can't." "Please." Out of the blue, the porch light goes on. And the girl's sister shows up in her pajamas and hair all disheveled. In a sleepy voice, the sister says, "Dad says to go ahead and give him a kiss, or I can do it. Or if need be, he'll come down himself and do it. But for crying out loud, tell him to take his hand off the intercom button." So, fellas, if you try for that first kiss... Remember, don't put your hand on the intercom button. I'm going to, by the Lord's help, just give you a little illustration of Faith Promise Missions. And Pastor, I'm sure you practice that here, don't you? Faith Promise? Do you do Faith Promise Missions? Okay. Well, I'm not sure. But it's a good history lesson at any rate, because I did want to talk about missions some tonight. And then in a little bit, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask some questions, too. But this has always been important to me because I grew up in a church. Our home church doesn't do Faith Promise Missions. And Faith Promises and Missions is a way, and it's not the only way to do missions by any means, but that you challenge the people to give over and above their tithe so much to missions each year. You have your tithe coming in, which is regular, and you challenge the people. It's not a pledge. It's a commitment to the Lord. And here's an example of sending out the gospel and giving through Faith Promise Missions. And the reason I just say this, I'm not trying to convince Pastor to go over this, but I think just the history of it itself is unique. The early leader of Faith Promise Missions in the 20th century was Oswald J. Smith out of the People's Church in Toronto, Canada. A lot of folks have heard of this old-time preacher. He's been with the Lord several years, but he did a tremendous job. He was there in Canada for over 25 years. Listen to these dates. From 1934 to 1959, the church raised over $5 million for foreign missions. Now, that's a lot of money anytime, but from 34 during the Depression to 1959, they raised over $5 million for missions through Faith Promise Giving. Brother Smith saw the missions budget grow to $700,000 per year, producing a 7-to-1 ratio in missions giving as compared to the church budget. As a young Christian at LifeGate Baptist Church back in 1973, Dr. Ford Porter, who I mentioned this morning, who wrote God's Simple Plan of Salvation, he challenged one of the men who was a printer in the church to print a whole bunch of mission sayings. And I'm not going to read them all tonight, but there are a lot of good ones. You'd enjoy all of them. But I just want to say this about this, that it was such a blessing to me as a young man going to church and only been saved a few years. I had just barely met my wife then, but I was going to LifeGate Baptist Church, and she was going to a church on the west side of the city at that time. And so they put these banners all around the area. And they had one I've always liked is they had these different slogans, sayings on them. The supreme task of the church is the evangelization of the world. Well, that's true, whether you practice Faith Promise Missions or just general missions like your pastor here in the church does. And another one is the mission of the church is missions. That's a good thought, isn't it? That's the mission of this church, to get the gospel out around the world and in this community. That's the mission of the church. And here's a good one, too. God alone can save the world, but God can't save the world alone. The light that shines the farthest shines brightest nearest home. There's a good thought, isn't it? And there's many more. There's about 12 more, and I don't have time, and I'm not going to give all those to you here now. But as a young Christian, it was such a blessing to me to see these slogans and the challenge that it was through Faith Promise Missions. Since Debbie and I have been missionaries with Baptist International Missions, beginning in 2003, we've heard many testimonies where people have been blessed by being obedient and giving to their local church missions. And that can just be through your regular program. I'm really not here to promote Faith Promise Missions in that sense, but I've seen it to be a blessing in many churches that we've been at, and it is a good thing. But you and I should find just a special joy in giving to the Lord, shouldn't we? Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians just a minute and look there. That wasn't maybe my primary scripture, but it might turn out to be. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. Sometimes people refer to this Faith Promise Missions as grace giving. You know, we're saved by grace, so then why shouldn't we give by grace as well? And it may mention that in here in one of the verses. Beginning in 2 Corinthians 9, 6, 7, and 8. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Let's go back just one chapter, if we could, please, and look at chapter 8 there. And here is a testimony to the Macedonian churches. I'll just read a few verses here that might help us and to see that there is a principle of grace giving. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on all the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of the liberality. For to their power I bear you record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship and ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first they gave of their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You know, it's important that first of all in our giving, we give of ourselves first. It's true that God loveth a cheerful giver, and you really can't outgive the Lord. But he wants you to give of your heart. He wants you to give him yourself first, even concerning your tithe, even concerning your love gifts for this special Christmas project, which is good that the church is having, and all the other good projects that you do in this community and things. He wants us to give of ourselves to him first. And now I'm going to pause for just a moment because I didn't know how many questions you might want to answer. And I'd like to right now just pause in the middle of here, and we may go back to another scripture or so. Does anyone have a question tonight about what Debbie and I are going to be doing in military missions, or where we're going, or where we've been, or anything you might like to ask about a country we've been in? Like I probably mentioned this morning when I gave you a few Japanese words, we can't speak the language in Germany or in Japanese, and certainly we can't in Korean. I don't know if the dear brother's here tonight, but he was in the Korean conflict. I don't know if I see him right now, but he gave me three Korean words this morning, phrases, and I forgot them already. There's some important things to know. I asked him, how do you say in Korean, where is the toilet? That's pretty neat to have that in hand, you know, but he didn't know that one. Now, do any of you have a question or something that you would like to ask about military missions in general, or where Debbie and I will be going? Pastor John said that sometimes you guys have a lot of questions, I'll be glad to entertain a question, or you could ask Debbie a question if you like. Okay, yes.
Do many Japanese know English as a second language already?
That's a good question because they really want to learn. The Japanese are hungry to learn the English language. There's multiple English schools in even a little, Sasebo is only about 175,000, but I call that little compared to Tokyo area of around 40 million people. But they just long to learn English. And there's many schools for that. We have a friend who's a Christian man. He married a Japanese wife. He's a little younger than Debbie and I, but they're there, and they have a school where they teach English to little kids as well as grown-ups. And I don't know if you know some of you young people who may have a desire to teach in another country. Japan has a program, and many other countries do too, probably China. But it's called JET, Japan English Teaching. And we had several folks that we had met that came through that program. One young lady came to our church for a couple of years, and she was in teaching English. They actually go in the schools. Now, they don't actually teach English grammar like we would think, but they're there to speak English. If any time there needs to be a question about English during a class or something like that, they're there as a live speaking English person. But a lot of Japanese speak English. We lived in a Japanese cho, which was like a little area, like a neighborhood, and our landlords didn't speak Japanese. The wife did a little bit, but her son worked on the base, and he spoke real good English. And so if we had a problem in our apartment where we lived, we always talked with him first. So that's good to know about. The Japanese love to learn English. Anyone else have a question? Yes, sir. Well, it'd be Buddhism and then Shintoism. And the irony of that, we know some English-speaking Japanese people, maybe younger people, and a lot of them don't have any idea what it really is. It's just tradition. It's just tradition, worshiping ancestors and different things of that nature. And, of course, worshiping Buddha to some extent, of course, saying prayers to him. And they really have thousands of gods, so to speak. But the sad thing is they really don't know much about it. Debbie had a young lady she tried to reach with the gospel who spoke English, and her name was Kaoru, and Debbie worked real hard with her trying to explain what sin was, and it was hard for that young lady, and Debbie finally gave her an illustration about what it was to know what sin was, and she finally got the picture that sin is something bad, but not that they don't know in their depths of their heart, like it says in Romans 1, that they're sinners. But they aren't ever taught about being sinners, particularly, like we are in the Bible Belt or whatever, so to speak. We know from youngsters that we're sinners and we believe the Bible, but they have no knowledge of the Bible to speak of. You know, if I think some of the newer ladies, maybe even Kaoru herself, they'd never even heard the story about David. You know, anything about David? Debbie would tell a new story like that. They weren't familiar with that. But praise the Lord, she did see one time Debbie taught about baptism. And she told Debbie, she says, I need to be baptized. I need to do that. So we had a Japanese missionary, Dan Gardner Jr., and he and his dad have been in Japan for a long time. They're in Okinawa. So he came and preached for us one time, and he was able to lead Kaoru to the Lord. He could speak the language, and he led Kaoru to the Lord. And, of course, Kaoru kept coming to Debbie for Bible studies after that. And then about 4 or 5 months later, he came back and preached for us once again, and he baptized Kaoru, because he was the one who led her to the Lord. So that's good. Pray for her. She needs growth. The Japanese folks that get saved, they really need our help and prayers, because many missionaries in Japan have been there for years, and they see so few results. In the Philippines, it's just opposite. Missionaries there are building new churches, and people are getting saved by the handful in the Philippines, but not in Japan. They're very slow to hear the gospel and to receive the gospel. Anyone else have a question or so? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to know about the tracts you give out. How long does it take to get them printed, to get back? How many do you give out?
Right. That's a good question. Debbie, why don't you come up here a minute, and maybe they'll ask you a question. We use some tracts that we had. I don't have one with me. I have one in the car trunk. It was in a dual language. And it was half English and half Japanese. And we got them printed in Japan, and it took a few weeks to get them. And there's other designs. And the longtime missionaries, the Gardner families, they had tracts that they used and gave to us. And we could use them. And they were good because they would get the gospel out to the Japanese.
God's Simple Plan of Salvation.
Yeah, God's Simple Plan of Salvation. It's in Japanese as well. We had some of those.
We had a just for children that a missionary gave us. For the children, it was based on like the wordless book colors, but many times we would give them to elderly people because the concept of God is just so strange. So it was better to give them something very, very simple that they could just read the plan of salvation. The tract that he's talking about had pictures on it from the horrible storm that was there in
2011. The tsunami, and there it happened in Fukushima.
So when they saw the front of the tract, they saw those pictures. And most of the time they would say, yes. And then when you open it, it had, why do bad things happen? Different questions. And then at the end, it had the Romans Road in Japanese. And our church tracts, of course, were bilingual, because we encourage people to visit our church. If they could speak English, we wanted them to come. And once a year, we had Japanese American Sunday, and we would have a missionary come and preach in Japanese, and then it would be translated to English. And we had a really good turnout. When he was in the hospital to have his cataracts removed, we invited, that was in July, we invited his roommate and his nurse, and we wrote down the date, November 13th, and they came. And what a blessing it was that they remembered, because he made such an impression on them and his testimony. They took the time to come in November and hear. So it was, once a year, it was just so wonderful. We could just open the doors of Lighthouse Baptist and invite the Japanese to come and hear the truth.
I was sort of teasing pastor this morning about his tie. It's sort of representing Ohio State. And I said, well, we're sort of IU people. But it's funny. The lady, that was her name, the nurse that worked with me, she could speak English. That isn't how you spelled it, but that's how you said it, IU. And she had twin daughters that were named Fuka and Yuka. I don't know exactly what that means in Japan, but that was sort of sweet. And the man that I got to witness to in the room, he said he was in the hospital. Yeah, in Japan, we stayed a whole week in the hospital to have two cataracts removed. That's just the way they do it. And I know that's unusual. You go and come back the next evening or something after yours. And I was there all week, and his name was Tomi Nagasan. I would want to say Tommy, but it's Tomi Nagasan. And at first, I had a grammar book of Japanese and stuff, and I tried to speak with him a little. And then it dawned on me I had a new Android phone that somebody had given, and I had translator. So I started doing things in translator where he could read right there on the phone, and we could communicate and stuff. And I tried to share to him about the love of the Lord, but he was so kind and gracious. He raised chestnuts and on his place where he lived, up in Haikai. And one day at church, I was teaching Sunday school, and just out of the blue, he comes into church and has a whole thing of chestnuts, some in sugar water and some just regular chestnuts to eat. And so then he came back for the Japanese American Sunday and heard the gospel from a Japanese preacher. We had a Japanese preacher there who preached in Japanese, and then he would translate into English for us folks that couldn't understand. So that's something like what a military church would be. Anyone else have a question? Yes.
So you're going to Korea now.
Right.
Now, the church is on the base?
No, they're never on the base. If they were on the base, well, so never. Most always they're not on the base, but because we would have to be under the base regulations of the chaplaincy and things.
Well,
right, right. Pastor Neil is a pastor. He's retired Army, and he says they have a three-story building. The first story is this is going to open up real soon. They've been working on that. They're going to have a Christian Servicemen Center. On the second floor is a sanctuary and maybe classrooms. And the third floor is where they live. So that's their setup there. And that's a nice setup and good, yeah. He's been there for a little over a year and doing a good job there. Mostly all Army folks there. Oh, yeah. He said he's been having about 30 to 35 on Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, like your crowd's down a little Sunday night, of course, but it's a good crowd here tonight. But he only has, 10 or 15 on Sunday night or Wednesday night.
And it's a new work.
Yeah, it's a new work, about a year old.
They've just been there just a short time.
Thank you. Ma'am, you had a question?
So do you think that the South Koreans have the same kind of culture and religion as the Japanese?
Well, I would say similar. I mean, their culture differences would be, I probably couldn't explain them, but they have some, I'm sure. But they worship some false gods in general. And their ancestors, the Koreans are good for doing that. I can't tell you 100% if they're Buddhists and Shinto like the Japanese are, because I really don't know all I need to know about the Koreans yet. But yeah, they'd be similar. We got to go last January. We got to go on a little trip, a R&R trip. Our church wanted us to send us someplace, and they said we could go wherever we wanted. So we chose to go to Busan, Korea, which is timely. It's right across from Fukuoka, Japan. So Debbie had been wanting to go on a boat. So we took a jet boat across from Fukuoka to Busan. And it took about an hour. It was a neat ride. It really got up there and go. You couldn't stand on the deck and this. You had to look up outside the glass, you know, because it was just too fast and speedy to go. But we went there and stayed in a lovely hotel. The Korea was a lovely place. I mean, they had modern buildings and restaurants and things. Maybe I mentioned that already, but it was a little trashier in Japan. They had more trash on the street and stuff. Japan was more tidy. And that's in Japan, you can't find any place to throw your trash. When you go someplace, the mall or something like that, nope. I've even seen signs where the sailors are a lot, and to me too, man. It says, take your trash home with you. You know, they don't want you to, leave your trash. And, Americans, we're spoiled. You know, when I pull in and get gas, I take my trash out and put it in the thing. Nothing like that there. Any other questions?
And we did the same thing on the trip to
Busan. We took Korean tracks with us and candy. So we had a chance to pass out a lot of Korean tracks just to people that waited on us and things like that.
Well, these have all been good. Yes, you got another question?
I have a follow-up question with the tracks. And I thought of this question a few minutes ago.
Right. Right.
Well, the one came from the Bible college.
Right. The ones, like Debbie's mentioned, the ones that came from the Japanese missionaries, they were pretty thorough. Mm. And God's Simple Plan of Salvation has always been a good track, but what they put in the Japanese may not be 100% correct. They have people proofread them and go over the Japanese and stuff, but sometimes it may not say exactly what it really needs to say, sometimes a track like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I understand. That's a good question, no. Well, anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
So you could end up anywhere as a relief missionary.
Mm-hmm. Yes, not only a military work, but we could go to an English speaking place, like Jamaica. They speak English there. Not that we're going there, but we could. Or Aruba, they speak English there. Or even some South Seas islands where they speak some English still as a more of a major language. We could go there. Hawaii, yeah, that sounds good. We're all for that. There are some military works in Hawaii. We have some churches that are for the military in Hawaii. We've never been to Hawaii yet. So we could go to other English-speaking places. So this would be unique. It would be for the first time for us, and it's only 5 or 6 weeks, which is nice. We've already purchased airplane tickets. We have to buy some insurance, too. We've checked into that because we can't use Medicare A and B over there, or you can't use anything or any supplement. You'll have to have some insurance that will be viable for the country. Debbie and I, when we lived in Japan, we had Japanese insurance. And that was really nice. We had to pay a minimal amount each month, but we had insurance, and then the other insurance, I called it old-timers insurance. It was for people over 65. So we had two different insurance things. But when I went to the hospital, I was in a week in a hospital. Now, you can imagine being in a week in a hospital, how much it cost here. My bill for the hospital that week, I tried to kick out enough Japanese yen to make sure I'd pay for it. It turned out to be about $437. not bad for a week in the hospital. And the food was good, too. I like rice. I like Japanese sticky rice. It's really good. Very tasty. Amen. Well, any other questions? I guess Debbie thinks we're all done, I guess. Thank you, Debbie. Anyway, yes, back in the back. I'm not, you know, we're not afraid to fly. if that's a concern, it gets a little wearing. It'll be about a 13-hour flight from Chicago to Narita, and then only about an hour and a half or 2 hours to Busan. So we're not afraid to fly. I'm trying to think about concerns. I think we can blend right in because we've done this before. It's not like we're experts at it, but we just need to fill in for the pastor and his wife. They're leaving for about 5 or 6 weeks. No urgency. I mean, there's no medical problems. They're coming back to see grandkids and take care of some business for just 5 or 6 weeks. So there's no major concern. I can't speak the language, but that doesn't bother me. I can go in a store and find something I want to eat or something like that. And the good stores in Japan, believe it or not, were 7-Elevens. In America, I would dread to go in a lot of 7-Elevens. I'd be afraid to go in them, but in Japan, they're excellent. You can go in there and pay bills. They're stocked very well, and the prices are good. So, you know, I don't know if we have any other concerns. Yes, brother? Well, I talked to Pastor Neil, who's there now, the military missionary, and he gave us a date to leave and to depart and a date to come back, and that's pretty much what we did then. And he'll show us around. He'll have somebody there in the military that could sponsor us on the base if we needed to go and maybe get a few things. It'd be kind to do that, you know, and like that. But we probably won't have a vehicle. You know, before in Japan, we had a vehicle, and I had a Japanese driver's license. But I think it'll be pretty convenient and pretty. It'll be cold. We both got new winter coats, so we're ready to go for that. Won't be summertime there in that time of year. Well, amen. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Yeah, on the other side of the street. Yeah, I was really afraid about that when I went. I told our military director, I said, well, this is really going to be hard for me. I've never done that. But once you get used to it, it makes sense. At first, it said, well, that sounds strange, you know. Imagine in Okinawa. In Okinawa, after World War II, they drove the way the Americans do. And then about, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, I don't know the exact date, then the Japanese people of Okinawa said, well, this is enough of this. We're going to drive like the way they used to do. So they changed all the roads, and you drive on the left side of the street in Okinawa now. Because, like, even in Okinawa during the war, it was so severe there that all the railroads was bombed out. They don't have any railroads in Okinawa, period, because they have a monorail down by the big airport and stuff in Naha, but no railroads are left. Yes, sir?
No, in Japan, I wonder, I have a car. Their vehicles are there. They last smaller than ours are in the U.S., typically.
Well, not in general, they are and can because the streets are small. But a lot of people have Lexuses and all kinds of fancy Mercedes and stuff. They don't seem to be hurting for money. They have really fancy cars. We had a little Nissan. It was called a March, like the month of March. And it was shaped like a Volkswagen Beetle, basically. And it did us good service while we were there. We could have used a little more leg room or something like that. I didn't enjoy sitting in the back seat very much, but... They have wonderful cars and transportation there, you know. They're in Japan, their transportation is probably the best in the world of accuracy of time and things like that. We got to ride the Shinkansen or the bullet train a couple occasions. That was really neat. It really moves right along real fast, but they're right on time. You know, they're very punctual. Amen. Well, anyone else? Yes, in the back there. We have passports, yes, sir. And we still have a valid Japanese visa. We're going through Narita Airport, and we're going to take our visas with us because it's still valid. And we have a little paper thing clipped in our passport, the way the Japanese do it. So when we go through Narita Airport in Japan, we'll have to show that to them and show them our visas. But our passports, of course, are good enough to get us to South Korea. I mean, we could get there on a passport. But since we're going through Japan, we'll use our visa because they're good till 2023 still. But we have to get back. This will be good because we had to get back within a year to make them still valid. Otherwise, they wouldn't be valid anymore. Yes, if we did have to stay longer than 90 days, you could go over to Japan on a boat or something. You wouldn't have to fly. And they would stamp your passport book there, entering into Japan. And then you could go back to Korea again for 90 more days. You can do that in any country in the world. If you could leave one country and go back into another one, then you can extend your period beyond the 90 days. Yes, ma'am. We're going to live in the quarters. I think it's on the third floor, ma'am. The first floor was the Christian Servicemen Center. The second floor, a church and sanctuary. The third floor is where the Neal family lives. So we, right there. Yeah, we'll be right there. So it'll be real convenient, right? Well, you've had a lot of good questions. I appreciate all these. Pastor was right. He said you folks are pretty sharp. You had a lot of questions to answer. Pastor, we'll turn it over to you now. Leave the time's up. We appreciate it.
As we close out tonight, I know our own folks, you understand this, but maybe there's somebody here tonight and you say, why would anybody do all this? I mean, this sounds like a lot of fooling around, really. You know, leaving the comforts of your country and going someplace for 6 weeks and then bouncing back here and bouncing all over the place. Why would anybody want to do that? And it's all because you love lost souls and because God's given you a heart and a desire to do that. And tonight, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we don't have to go to another country to find lost people. We've got plenty of them in this country. And maybe you're here tonight without Christ as Savior. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came looking for you, lost person. And he came to die on a cross for your sins. Because there's only one way to be saved, and that's through the blood of Jesus paying the price for your sins. But when Jesus died on a cross, he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. And the Bible says that because of the resurrection, that's what gives the gospel message the force that it needs. Because otherwise, our preaching of the gospel would be in vain. Whether you go to another country or you preach the gospel in this country, it would be in vain if Jesus had not risen from the grave. But he has risen. And tonight, lost person, you need to be saved. But I guess tonight, as I hear this challenge, what they're going to be doing, you know, maybe the Lord hasn't called you to another country. But the Lord has called every single one of us to be missionaries. Every one of us Christians, God has called us to be a missionary. That's not a call that's just on certain people. The call to go to another country is on certain people. The call to be a missionary is on every single Christian. And I wonder tonight, Christian, do you and I really answer that call? I mean, we have so many people around us on a daily basis, and we never tell them about Jesus, but yet we'll give our money to missions, and that's great, and we should, but we're dropping the ball here. That doesn't seem right. God's given us a voice. He's given us an opportunity. These folks have to buy their tracks. We've got a track rack out there, and we pay for them as a church. You don't have to buy one of them. All you got to do is just grab them. Help yourself. Empty them things out. Give Miss Barb something to do. She'll restock it. And yet, do we do that? I mean, we could pass out tracks. That's the easiest thing to do, Christian. That's a great gateway to telling other people about Jesus. You know what? Americans like candy, too. Put a little sweets with it. Somebody might be more apt to take it.
Right.
There's nothing wrong, Christians, with us getting a little more creative in our evangelism. I don't know how the Lord's working in your heart tonight. But if you would, stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And as the pianist plays the song of invitation tonight, the altar is open. I'm here tonight if you'd like somebody to pray with you. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, we would love to take you aside and introduce you to Christ. But maybe the Lord's dealing with a Christian tonight in some area of your life. Let's get things settled tonight.